This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And in just a bit, we are planning to hear from Stacy Wolf, and she is an expert on Broadway all across the United States of America. But as Mark Ballard noted, right now in Louisiana, the spotlight is on the LSU football Tigers, 14-0. LSU has only had one undefeated season in modern time, 1958. The Tigers of that year went 11-0 and finished with a 7-0 win over Clemson in the 1959 January 1 Sugar Bowl. This time it's Clemson again, and the Tigers from South Carolina invade the Superdome as the defending national champs, but they are 5.5-point underdogs, and Clemson has a 29-game winning streak. The longest streak by an LSU opponent that has been broken by the Tigers was 22 by Arkansas. 1965 Cotton Bowl, 66 January 1, actually, 65 season. Arkansas seeking a repeat of its national championship of 1964, lost to Pat Skreen and Joe Labruzzo and the Tigers 14-7 in the Cotton Bowl as Charlie McClendon had his biggest win. Arkansas had won 22 games in a row. This time it's 29, and LSU is a 5.5-point favorite. Coach O and quarterback Joe Burrow have become the toast of the nation. Joe Burrow is 23 years old. To put it in perspective, he's the same age as Ben Simmons, the erstwhile LSU basketball player, who is a 4-year NBA veteran. And Joe Burrow is still in college. He is a man at 23 and has played like it. The Tigers have dominated offensively every opponent this year and have only been outgained in yardage by one opponent. That was Florida, but LSU won that one 42-28. Today in the New York Times, UNIS native and LSU graduate Jeri Longman writes about Coach O. Louisiana's delirious about its Cajun coach, an accent on winning. He writes that Orgeron's raspy voice is similar to Bayou voices they've heard their entire lives, but more gravelly, like the sound of tires on an oyster shell parking lot. Scratch that, he writes. It's the sound of a fiddle being played with a chainsaw. And he notes that Coach O, right now in Louisiana, and especially if LSU is to win Monday night, is the most popular person in the state, a political commentator, says Coach O, could be acclaimed governor for life by divine right. So let's see what happens Monday night in the Louisiana Superdome. And today, Henry at the Country Club notes that his good friend Joe Delpit, who's been on this show many times and is the owner of the longest-standing restaurant still going in Baton Rouge, Chicken Shack, and, of course, former state representative, former Metro councilman, and House Pro Tem, the first African-American to hold that position in Louisiana. Joe Delpit is 80 years old today, born January 9, 1940. So happy birthday to Joe Delpit. And one of his employees at the Chicken Shack many years ago, as he noted on this show, was a fellow named H. Rapp Brown, who, of course, was one of the civil rights firebrands of the 1960s. And H. Rapp Brown is now serving time in prison. But he grew up not far from Joe Delpit and worked for him at the Chicken Shack. Richard Milhouse Nixon, also born on this date, on January 9, 1913, 107 years ago, for the 37th American president, who won a close win over LSU's Hubert Humphrey and George Wallace in the year of 1968, and then carried 49 states over George McGovern in 1972, and less than 2 years later was run out of office on the 9th of August 1974 as he was about to be impeached and convicted. Stacy Wolf is now with us, professor in the program in theater in the Lewis Center for the Arts at Princeton University, and she has a compelling book for those who are Broadway buffs. It's called Beyond Broadway, The Pleasure and Promise of Musical Theater Across America. And good morning to you, Stacy.
Good morning to you.
Nice to hear your voice. And Stacy, as you make reference in your book, Broadway is something that goes beyond New York City. It's something that much of the country has an opportunity to partake. Tell us about what's going on in this great land regarding Broadway productions.
Well, I was just listening to your segment and all that you were saying about football. And one of the things that's going on across the country is that pretty much any high school that has a football team also has musical theater. And this is one of the things that surprised me as I traveled across the country. And why does this happen? Because football teams need marching bands, and marching bands need musicians. And so kids learn how to play instruments, and they become the basis of either the singers or the players for musical theater. So there are many high schools where there's marching band and football in the fall and then musical theater in the spring, and a ton of kids participate in this. And it happens everywhere in big towns and small towns and anywhere where there's football, not only Louisiana.
The book is Beyond Broadway, The Pleasure and Promise of Musical Theater Across America, from Stacy Wolf. And you went out to the hustings everywhere, from Maine to California. Were there any places that stood out as far as your visits?
There were so many places that stood out as far as my visits, and I would actually say every place was incredibly unique and interesting and inspiring. I think two of the places I found most extraordinary were outdoor theater settings. In Austin, Texas, there's a hillside that is right above Barton Springs, which is the largest man-made swimming pool in the world that's fed by a cold water spring. And every year they do a musical on this hillside for free. And they perform it every weekend all summer in the sweltering heat in the evening. So people come and they lay down their blankets at 4 in the afternoon and they have a picnic or walk around the park. It's in a beautiful park, or they go swimming and then they sit on the hillside and watch a musical. And it's a part of the culture. It doesn't cost anything. And when I was there, I met people who otherwise never go to the theater, and yet they come and they bring their families once in the summer or every single weekend or every single performance. And it was really a remarkable local event built around musical theater. Another place that was also an outdoor setting that was amazing is a phenomenon called the Mountain Play, which is on the top of Mount Tamalpais, around 10 miles north of San Francisco, north of the Golden Gate Bridge. And this they've been performing shows there since, plays there since 1913, and musicals since the 1970s, and you take a school bus 45 minutes up, or you can hike up, or you can ride a bike up, and there's a natural amphitheater up there that has a view of the San Francisco Bay. It seats 3,500 people, and it is spectacularly beautiful to see a play on the top of the mountain, and it's, a local ritual that people participate in it. They bring their food up there, they bring their kids and their families, and finding musicals in these out-of-the-way places was really remarkable to me.
When did you become enthralled with musical productions, particularly Broadway productions?
Well, I became enthralled with Broadway productions when I was a small child. I performed in school plays when I was 8 years old. I did dinner theater when I was 10 years old. But I think the fact that I grew up in suburban Baltimore, and I did not go to New York until I was well into my teens, and even that, I think, is unusual for a lot of people. And that's what got me interested in writing this book, because I knew so much about musical theater. I was a fanatic. I wanted to be a Broadway star. I knew every show from cast albums that played in our house, and from watching Cinderella on TV with Leslie Ann Warren every year, and going to movies. And I knew a ton about Broadway and a ton about Broadway musical theater, even though I had never been there. And that's not an unusual phenomenon. There are so many people in this country, kids and adults, who have never been to Broadway, never will go to Broadway, and yet have a deep and intense relationship to the Broadway musical through participation or through being in an audience in their local towns.
At a formative age, you say you were enthralled as a kid, Stacy. What were some of the productions that really caught your eye?
Well, one of the productions that caught my eye, which I think attracts many, many children, is The Sound of Music. I think there's something fascinating about these seven kids who are all lined up, and that's a show that's still produced constantly all the time. The outdoor theaters that I was talking about happened to be doing The Sound of Music in subsequent years, so I got to see a number of different productions of that show. I think that The Sound of Music is just something that keeps reaching people, and the music is beautiful. All the shows of Rodgers and Hammerstein are incredible. And more contemporary musicals, musicals that have not yet made it out into the amateur circuit, like Wicked, I think will be fantastic when high schools and community theaters can do that show.
I think I know the answer, but are your students at Princeton as enthralled as you were?
Of course they are. They are. But one of the things that's really incredible about teaching musical theater is that in my classes, I try to harness the love that they bring for the form, and yet we talk about musical theater as a serious form of American culture. So we analyze musicals the same way you might analyze a Shakespeare play, and we analyze the scores for musicals the same way you might analyze Beethoven or Bach. So we take this form very seriously, and to my mind, it enhances the students' love and appreciation by learning about how it's put together and how it works on us emotionally and intellectually.
We only have a few seconds left, but you obviously have a great fascination with high school musicals all over our country.
I do, and it's amazing to me how kids at high schools these days use technology to create characters in ways that are completely unique to them. They take little bits and pieces from all these different productions that they've seen, and they create characters through a kind of bricolage of what they've seen, what they analyze, and what they put on their bodies and their voices.
The book is Beyond Broadway, The Pleasure and Promise of Musical Theater Across America from Stacy Wolf. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial.